Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Marquise Munson taking you through this Friday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee, talking Vols against the Crimson Tide tomorrow. And to help us do that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in our good friend David Ubben from The Athletic. David, what's going on, man? How you doing?
Not too much. I appreciate it, guys. How's it going?
Going pretty well. And, David, I would expect the defensive line this week to be the greatest-looking defensive line we've ever seen in Tennessee football history. Do you have the same expectations?
Steel curtain, I'm sure. Yeah,
Orange Crush.
I think the biggest thing is, you know, do you have an effort there? You know, I liked, we're talking about they had some spirited practices this week. You liked how the defensive line looked. I'm sure he did. So, you know, it is the proof's in the pudding. Alabama's going to score some points. You know, I don't know that, you know, unless Bama's hanging 70, I don't know that we're going to learn that much about Tennessee's defense this week. It's Alabama. They're running at a clip right now, you know, pretty much neck and neck with 2019 LSU, which was the best offense in the history of college football. I think the bigger question for me is, you know, where's the offense? Because Bama can be scored on. This is not a great Alabama defense. It's barely a good Alabama defense. You know, Tennessee should be able to put some points on the board. But, you know, if you walk away from Saturday and it's, 62-7, you got an issue. You know, they're going to give up points. But I honestly, against this Alabama team, am more concerned with the offense because, they've looked pretty bad the last couple of weeks, but Kentucky and Georgia are also two of the best defenses in the league, and you should be able to put some points up on Saturday.
Well, sure. I mean, you know, don't give the other team touchdowns. I mean, it's amazing when you think, David, like 17-0, and you've had all these disasters, and you say, okay, we're just going to hand it off X number of times in a row. I know 9 straight just to Gray, and you just rip down the field and score. And I contend, David, that up front they can have success against Alabama and give a quarterback support to, you know, have an opportunity to make plays and play action and you know, to be able to protect because you're running the ball well. And I don't think that's happened very much in this series between these teams, with Tennessee being able to line up and say, yeah, we can create creases against an Alabama defense. Am I being too optimistic on that point?
No, I think so. I mean, that's the thing. Again, I just think they should be able to score points. If Tennessee only puts up 7 or 10 points, that's an issue. They should be able to score against the Alabama. Again, the offense, you know, or Tennessee's defense, I don't really know what they're going to be able to do against this Alabama offense. These guys are scoring crazy. I just think, yeah, you're right. There's no reason that they shouldn't be able to at least, you know, control the ball. I think, you know, one other thing too, you know, big picture, I've been talking to Steele about this week, like, you know, I spent a lot of time in the Big 12 country, obviously, and just about every coach you talk to about offensive philosophy, it's pretty much the same. Go get 7 every single time. Go get 7 every single time. And, you know, Jerry Pruitt talks a lot about, we don't want to turn the ball over. We want to have ball control. We want to do all of these things. I got to tell you, I think the best ball control is scoring 7 points every time. And I think that sometimes philosophically they get so into, we want to accomplish this. We don't want to have turnovers. And, you know, sometimes you get so focused on some of those things that you know, you work so hard at not doing something that it gets in your head and end up doing it. I wonder how much of it is that. But I do think, you know, offensive philosophy and in terms of just sort of mindset, you know, I think if you take your mindset off anything except let's go get 7 every single time, I think things can go a little sideways on you. And I wonder if there's not an element of that, you know, in the Jerry Pruitt era at Tennessee.
David Ubben from The Athletic on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So obviously, David, the big talking point this week is the quarterback position, like it is every week with the Tennessee Vols. What do you think Tennessee is going to do at that position tomorrow, and what do you think they should do at quarterback as they move forward here the rest of the season?
Well, should is a tough question because we just don't see enough of practice. You know, you hear, I think you have to Garantano. I think you run the risk of losing your locker room. I couldn't blame them if they went young and they said, let's see what we got with Harrison Bailey, you know, you know, they kind of know what they have with Shrout and Maurer. Bailey hadn't really seen a lot of time, hadn't had a lot of opportunity. Simplify things, do that. What they will do I think it's going to be Garantano with a super, super short leash. I mean, maybe the shortest leash in the country tomorrow. I think the first time that they feel a little bit shaky, you may see him, you know, get pulled, or if he makes a mistake or something big, I could see that. That's just sort of a guess. I think you kind of have to play it by ear and feel out the game a little bit. But I do think, you know, at this point, considering that obviously Shrout struggled last week, didn't look very good, and you know, they like what they've seen from Bailey in those Sunday night scrimmages and the very, very little time he's gotten. You know, I wonder, you know, especially if you get down or you know, you want to give it a shot, you know, see what he can do and give him a little bit more time than he got last week when the game was out of hand. You know, again, the best case I think they have for making a switch is what's the worst that could happen? You know, you throw pick sixes on consecutive possessions. That honestly is like a pretty convincing argument to me, because when it goes south on Garantano, it goes south in a hurry, and it's tough for him to get it back in the middle of games. We saw it a little bit in the Gator Bowl, you know, he threw a pick six and was able to rebound. But, you know, I think that's a pretty convincing argument when you think about, you know, what can happen if you throw Harrison Bailey in there. It quite literally can't get worse than it was last week.
Yeah, well, and Garantano, of course, went back into that game in part because Maurer was bad, you know, and he came out and it was like, okay, well, this is just the best choice, you know. And that's still, I know it's hard for Tennessee fans to keep hearing that. At some point, like you said, like, okay, if it's going to be this bad, then make a switch. I did call a shot, David, on the show earlier that Harrison Bailey will take the last offensive snap tomorrow. Now, of course, that could mean a lot of things, and you know, but I do wonder, do you look at this like, okay, it's Alabama, and I mean, the true freshman, you got to have some time devoted to him, get him ready. Do you think it's possible, like, for the Arkansas game, maybe it starts shifting more that way? I know I'm asking you a question that's going to be based in part on what we see on the field tomorrow.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, like I said, I think it depends there. It's possible. I mean, I think there's no question that Harrison Bailey is getting more of an opportunity now than he was 3 weeks ago or 2 weeks ago even. But I think that, you know, I get the clamoring for Harrison Bailey. You know, I think you look at what the other two guys have done. I mean, you just look at their numbers, you know, sub 50% completion percentage, you know, more picks than touchdowns. JT Shroud, especially coming off of two possessions with pick sixes, obviously you want to take care of the ball. And the first throw he makes, he forces into – I don't even know what he saw on that. Looking back on it, you know, we did our film review at the Athletic. Like, I have no idea what he saw. I mean, that throw – I mean, it was inaccurate. It was a bad idea. That's like the worst thing you can do in that situation. In any situation, it's bad. But in a situation where you're coming off with two pick sixes and you just need to steady the ship a little bit, I can't imagine making that decision in that throw. And that I'm sure cost him a lot of confidence. And then Maurer, you know, he can make some plays, but he can make some plays for the other team too. And he's had some injuries. He's been battling. So, you know, it's definitely possible. You could see Bailey. But it's, again, you kind of have to play it by ear. I think, you know, the staff, it's been the same thing for 2 years. The staff would just like Garantano to not make those mistakes, be the best version of himself, and they'll have a quarterback competition, you know, at the end of the season, you know, provided Garantano doesn't come back for 2021. That's sort of what they would like to see, I'm sure. But when he's making mistakes like that, you force the staff's hand. And I think you can't blame Garantano for trying his best and making mistakes, but I think you can blame the staff for when he throws two pick sixes in a row, that you don't have a better answer. You have nowhere to go, and you have to go back to him. In year three, there's no excuse for that, I don't think.
David Oven from The Athletic on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So, David, what do you make of the job that Jim Chaney has done so far this year offensively? For me, it's somewhat difficult to evaluate when you talk about the turnovers or the quarterback discussion that we just had, but what do you make of the job that Jim Chaney has done, and maybe some friction there between Pruitt and Chaney after the game the other day?
Yeah, I mean, a little bit. Pruitt's a lot more, he's a lot less shy about calling out his coaches than he is his players. Probably because he's paying the coaches. But I think, like, you know, ultimately, like, there's probably something to the idea that, you know, when Tennessee is playing people that, you know, have better players than them, you know, namely Georgia. Obviously, not the case with Kentucky last week. But, you might need to get a little more creative. We haven't seen a lot of that from Chain. We haven't seen, you know, we saw a flea flicker last week, but that didn't work. Kentucky was ready for that. I don't mean like trick plays. I just mean a little bit of misdirection, a little bit more motion, a little things to test the defense, make be a little more creative, I think. You know, their power set is one thing, but that's just sort of, we're going to mash you. And when you can't mash teams, which they couldn't against Kentucky, they couldn't really against Georgia, they're creative. And I think we've seen a little bit of a lack of creativity. It's pretty much been jet sweeps to Velus Jones Jr. That's really the only thing we've seen that is a little bit creative, and that's, you know, not exactly Tenet, I suppose.
Okay, let's pad each other's backs here for a minute, David. Now, of course, I don't really get any credit for doing the Vol Twitter today. Really, I just laughed, like, I just cackled wildly while doing all these interviews. It was the most fun I've ever had doing anything. And, like, reading it again, I'm cackling. But you had a story yesterday that's really incredible. This is classic. Like, well, it's athletic stuff, but it's classic Ubbin here too. You got this picture from '95, Vols, Alabama, this famous picture, and you've told the entire story. So lay that out for us real fast here.
Yeah, so I've been working on this for like a year and a half. I didn't really get anywhere trying to find the guys in that photo after the '95 Alabama game when some fans. It wasn't really a field storming. It was more basically a gate popped open and some fans, you know, got a little bit too into their liquid courage, I think. And so there was a bunch of fans on the field, but it wasn't really a full field storm. And so most of the fans got arrested, and it was a lot of, we'll say maybe police overreach. But, you know, that picture, you know, I saw it obviously pretty early on when coming to the beat, and I thought, you know, some pictures are worth more than 1,000 words.
That's right.
Certainly one of them. And, you know, the story of that night and obviously a huge moment in the Tennessee-Alabama rivalry, they found themselves in a pretty similar spot 25 years ago as they do right now, kind of mired in a pretty ugly streak, dominated by Bama, and that game helped flip things for them. And it was a pretty memorable night, you know, for Tennessee fans. That was the same game as the Joey Kent touchdown on the first play and the naked bootleg for Peyton. So it was a great game, but the story afterward was almost as compelling, if not more compelling, than the game itself.
It's awesome.
It is. Check it out on The Athletic. David Ubbin from The Athletic has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Show. David, great stuff as always, man. Appreciate you. Have fun at the game tomorrow.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
See you, bub.
Absolutely. When we come back, we'll dive into a kind of a self-report. Where is the Tennessee football program right now? How far away are they from being an elite program once again in the SEC? We'll dive into that next. But first, Joe, I got to talk to you about FanDuel because it's got the Robbie Stanley stamp of approval. I've worked really hard to get it done. I've worked really hard to try to give it a chance to do it, and it has done it for sure. Sports betting is almost here, and FanDuel Sportsbook, it's giving you an exclusive offer to get started. FanDuel Sportsbook's giving users free $50 in free bets just for signing up. You heard that right, $50 in free site credit to register and verify early, no deposit required. FanDuel is America's number one sports betting site for a reason. They've got odds on all the biggest sports and a simple, intuitive, easy-to-use app that makes it easy to find the bet you're looking for and then lock it in. And unlike the other guys, once you win, FanDuel will get you your cash in as little as 24 hours. Why? Because it's the right thing to do. But right now, what you need to do, go download the FanDuel Sportsbook app for yourself and check it out. Just be sure when you sign up and register, use promo code ROB, that's R-O-B, so they know that we sent you. And when you verify your account, you'll receive that $50 in site credit when FanDuel Sportsbook is live. That's promo code ROB to get $50 in site credit when FanDuel Sportsbook is live. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Site credit is non-withdrawable and expires 7 days after receipt. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. For gambling problem support, call 1-800-889-9789.